Hi, guys, and welcome back to another new episode of Couch Talks on You Need Therapy. My name is Kat, and if you are noticing that maybe I sound a little bit more excited than I usually do on here, it's because I am, because today marks the 2-year anniversary of You Need Therapy podcast. And usually on Couch Talks, I answer questions that you guys send to me at Catherine@youneedtherapypodcast.com. Side note, you can still send some emails to me or questions. But today, we're going to do something different because this is You Need Therapy's second birthday, and I wanted to celebrate. And the way I am going to celebrate with you guys is one, saying thank you. Like, thank you so much for listening and being a part of this for the last 2 years, or even the last week if you just found out who we are. And how I want to celebrate this year is by putting in my favorite, well, some of my favorite. This was hard to choose, but these are some of my favorite moments from the podcast in the last year. So there were like a bunch of moments that really stuck out, but I chose 3 moments where I remember just being like immersed in the content, and it has nothing to do with anything I said. I do want to say that. I do a lot of episodes on here by myself where I just am teaching or talking to you guys about something I'm passionate about or answering your emails. And I've had some freaking amazing guests this past year. And I will say I've had some guests on the podcast that I never thought I'd actually be able to have beyond my little show. So I'm so grateful for that. And also I'm grateful for what I learned from these human beings, because as much as I'm an expert in my field, there are other experts out there that I just love learning from. And I also can learn from experts in my field because one of the people on here is a therapist. So I'm going to introduce you and play back 3 of my favorite clips from the past year. And hopefully, if you haven't listened to the episodes, it might encourage you to go finish those episodes. But if anything, you can get some of the wisdom and nuggets that I have gotten from these, because I'm thinking of that TikTok video that is like, what's a clip that lives in your head rent-free? And like, these 3 are clips that like will forever live in my head, and I love them so much. So we're going to start with a clip from my episode with Justin Baldoni, which he was on an episode where we talked about undefining masculinity that came out in August. And he is a actor, producer, director. He now has his own podcast called The Man Enough Podcast. And he wrote a book called Man Enough, which started my whole like desire to have a conversation with him, because I read that book and it opened my eyes. So he came on and he talked about, I had asked him a question about like, oh man, like, I really don't have that many men that actually come in my office. Like, I know men are in therapy, but the ability, or it seems like the balance of men to women ratio is very off when it comes to therapy and doing this kind of work. And why do you think that is? And he kind of talked about something that kind of really opened my eyes, because I'm all about men having feelings, and I do have some unconscious bias in there based on the culture I grew up in and how I was also conditioned to view men and to view masculinity. So I want to play this clip. It was one of my favorite things that he said. And I mean, I could listen to it a million times and it's still kind of like jaw drops, like light bulb moments. Me, even though I know what he's going to say, because it's that good. So here is my clip that I love, that lives in my head rent free with Justin Baldoni.
It's very surprising how many quote unquote woke women actually have a lot of their own internal misogyny. And what that looks like is, I think, a combination of a lot of things. One is, we've all been raised the same way. Men and women have been socialized in the same way. Women have been socialized to view men in the same way that men have been socialized to view men and to view themselves. So there is a part of many women, while they desire, I believe, vulnerability in a man, there's a part of them that has been trained to be disgusted by it.
Well, yeah, it's like in my head, I just thought like, be vulnerable, but like not too much. Well,
and that's
like, I want my partner to cry, but I don't want him to be like too whiny.
And what is that line, right? And that's a really tricky thing. Glennon Doyle writes about this in Untamed, the responsibility that women have here. And really, this is a woman's conversation. I can't have the conversation for women. What I can tell women who are listening, assuming that most of your listeners are women, is that be very mindful of the moment a man opens up to you and your reaction, because your reaction will train him whether or not it's safe for him to open up. Because if he can't open up with men, and he does finally open up with a woman, and the woman loses attraction or tells them to man up, which has happened many times.
Yeah.
You're creating a situation where a man literally has nowhere to go. Now, I'm not pro men, as I said earlier, putting their shit on women, but we have to start somewhere and there's nowhere for us to go. The idea of going to a therapist is like climbing Mount Everest for many men who've never trained. Like, it's not going up and hiking your local mountain. It's jumping right into Mount Everest, talking to another dude, calling another guy and being like, hey man, I'm struggling. That does not exist in our vocabulary, which is why so many of us men go to women and have made women our therapists.
All right. So my second clip that I'm obsessed with from this past year was from my episode that I did with the freaking amazing woman, Kaiza, who's a trainer and also has an amazing Instagram presence and has created this platform to help get people moving of all abilities and body sizes and all of that, called Just Move. So at Just Move on Instagram, go follow that. She's awesome. And I saw a video that was on her Instagram that had me in tears. And I sent it to, I think I sent it to Chase Locke, and was like, Chase, I need to get her on the podcast. Not thinking she would ever be on the podcast. And then she did. And then she came on the podcast. And in the very beginning, she was like, just so you know, I hate doing this kind of stuff. And then we couldn't stop talking because we had such a good conversation. And there's a clip that I love from her where I had started to talk about the body positivity movement, and she thought we were going to have this big disagreement, but really she said everything that I wanted people to say out loud about just body positivity, the body positive movement, body neutrality, positive body image, negative body image. It's so convoluted and like muddy right now. We're mixing them all up. I don't think I said body neutrality. That's in there too. And so it was just an awesome moment where so much like power and like, it was like you could tell her passion for what she believes and what she has learned to be true for her, that I also align with, came out. So I want to show this clip again because it just like got me going. And I will say, if you haven't listened to this whole episode, go listen to the whole thing, because she even had me tear up towards the end because of some of the stuff she was saying. And she just has so much passion in her. She's an incredible human. I mean, every person on the podcast has been an incredible human being, but she's an incredible human being. And what she does, there's so much love and empathy behind it. And I just think that's so cool and can be very rare in the fitness community. So here's that clip. And again, if you haven't listened to that episode, I'll link all these episodes in the show notes. Go listen to the full one, because by far, top three favorite episodes was definitely with her.
We're going to have a little argument right here.
Okay. Okay. No, I love that.
I'm actually not a fan of the body
positivity. Okay. Then that's good. I don't know that we'll get in an argument. I want to hear why.
Because it's still summing up that women are what their body is. And I'm like, why do we have to talk about the body? Mm. Body positivity would literally be not talking about my body at all. Leave my body alone.
Yes.
Like,
okay.
Don't talk about my body. Because that's what body positivity is, standing in the mirror saying, I like this about my body. So all you're reinforcing is that what you look like is important and you have to love all that. Like, that's, to me, that's, there's nothing positive about that. Mm-hmm. I don't like the body.
We just shouldn't have to talk about it.
We shouldn't have to fucking talk about it. Yes. We shouldn't be defined by what we look like. Body neutrality is the goal. The goal is that my body, I'm not on the roller coaster ride of where my body's at in any given season. I had this whole conversation. I think this is where the self-care started, the self-love video, because last year was really fucking difficult. Mm-hmm. We all went through a pandemic. It was very hard times, very, very hard times for everybody. Everybody experienced it differently. For me personally, as I am on social media and people looking at me as like, you know, the definition of health or what it had to be, I was going through my own roller coaster ride of, I didn't have any motivation to move. I was gaining weight. I was unhealthy. When I don't move, my, you know, mental health goes out the window. So I was going through a very, very difficult time. Sitting there telling me to look in the mirror and just love my stomach. What is that? Like, I had this whole thing about, no.
Yes. Okay. We're not going to argue, because that's my point, is I don't think I'll ever look in the mirror and say I love my stomach. One, amen. I'm not interested in doing that because my stomach looks different every single day.
Yeah.
Regardless of month to month. And so That is the energy that I would like to promote out there. And I think what I see that gets mixed up, and I'm trying to get more detailed with this, and hopefully I can in the future, is that the body positivity movement and having positive body image are two different things, but they're getting tied together. Positive body image is, I think, more along the lines of body neutrality, where I might not like what my body looks like, but also it doesn't matter, because what I'm doing is I'm taking the worth aspect and the value aspect away from my body and any part of my body, any aesthetic thing. And I'm understanding that worth is something that I'm born with, and I don't get to have more and I don't get to have less. It just is that. And what I look like is just that. And we're moving on. That's what I believe is having positive body image. When I say, like, I'm glad that there's this push towards body positivity, I'm glad that people are starting to stop ripping people down. And I'm glad people are attempting to allow there to be more inclusivity when it comes to bodies. But I think what I hear you, which is good for me to hear too, is really we should take that out and just stop talking about it. Because if we weren't talking about it, then it actually wouldn't be an issue. The reason that we're talking about it is because it is an issue.
Yeah. And I mean, on the bigger level, you know, corporations now, everybody's making a ton of money on body positivity. And I'm like, again, women are continuously summed up by what they look like. Stop talking about what we look like. Start talking about what we're doing in this world. Women are doing incredible things. Women run the damn world. Talk about what we're doing. Stop talking about what we look like.
Okay. And for my third favorite clip, this is one with my friend Tara Booker. And Tara is a therapist who lives and works in Nashville. I met her years ago, probably like almost 10 years ago, when I worked at the treatment center that I worked at. And she is somebody who was like created to be a therapist, you know, like just as was created to do the work she does. And also somebody who does her work with so much passion and belief in what she does. Not to say that we don't all have bad days as therapists, but I had her on to talk about spirituality and faith and religion, because I will tell you, if our spirituality and faith and religion and all of that stuff hasn't been rocked within the last couple years of the world being in kind of a disarray, I don't know when it will be. It definitely was for me. And I just loved having a conversation with her about the truth of what we've come to know about all of that for us and how we get to define it in a way that works for us. And it just felt very good to have this conversation. So I had asked her what she thinks the difference between spirituality, faith, and religion is. And this is one of my favorite clips from the year because it was just very helpful and eye-opening to put some language behind this. And I do want to say, because this can be quite a touchy subject for some, this is coming from her beliefs and my beliefs. They don't have to be your beliefs. And if they don't align with you, you get to just kind of leave them at the door. But if they do align with you, that's awesome. And I hope that it can help you the way it helped me put some language to some things that felt intangible, I guess would be a good word. So here's that clip with Tara.
I think I'll start in the simplest way. When I think about the word spirituality, I think about words like peace, love, full, safe, and the visceral experience of being connected and being able to say, that is a word I am in right now. I think about spirituality in that way. And to kind of expound on that, what comes in those kind of labels that we use for experiences, those words, I think what comes with that is an idea of like capital T truths, and everybody has their own, right? I think that's what's maybe one thing that's different about religion and spirituality is, like, in spirituality, your like capital T truths, the truths that are foundational to you, that you kind of come to an understanding of, this is what I believe about me and the world. That I think is spirituality. It's not necessarily rational or reasonable or logical or scientific necessarily, or even emotional. It's just this place where I just feel like this is just what I know unequivocally, without also any ability to explain why. So that's something that I think is a good frame for spirituality potentially, is just, what do I believe foundationally at the heart of all things, of me, of the world? And then religion, you know, is more of the institution. I think we hear that a lot. I think a good analogy is like education is to school as spirituality is to religion.
That's so good. Did you just think of that?
As I was thinking about having this conversation, that came to me.
That is so good.
Like, we may get an education in school.
Yes.
You also may not get a real true education depending on the schooling.
And you can also get an education outside of school.
There you go.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the institution that we've created in order to, hopefully the ideal is to connect with that thing, right? To possess a sense of spiritual truth, a sense of knowing, sense of peace, all that. And so religion becomes hopefully like a place we go to get some of that.
Yeah. I have a lot of feelings about that that are coming up. And I'm my goal for this conversation was not to go on tangents, but that's going to happen because I think that sometimes, again, this is my opinion, we put too much of our expectation and too much of our foundation, as you use that word, in the religion versus the spiritual process and just the spirituality of it. So I think that is a beautiful way to relate this and help people understand, because that's one of the hardest things for people to separate.
Yeah.
Of like, well, I can't be spiritual, or I can't have spirituality in my life, and I can't, and we'll talk about higher powers and all that. I can't do that, or I don't want to do that because I have this icky experience in my religion and in my church or whatever place you grew up going. And they don't have to be connected, because plenty of people have horrible experiences in school, whether it was growing up in school or going up to higher education, and they're wildly successful and intelligent outside of that. And sometimes the school system fails kids.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully that helps.
That does help.
And then the other word was faith.
Yes.
Faith, it's interesting. When I think about faith, I think what comes to mind is like, that's just like an element of existence, whether we like it or not. Like, we're all having faith every second of the day. And that's just like a belief in, a trust in the unknown.
Well, you know what? Also, because you said we're all having faith no matter what, I think that's really cool to say, because people are like, I don't have faith. I'm like, but you almost have faith in the fact that you don't have faith.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that is actually great to help us view what faith doesn't have to just be,
it's,
I don't know what,
not necessarily spiritual, and it's not necessarily religious. I think it just it like makes hope sense in those realms. Exactly. But like, we have faith in gravity, like that it's going to keep us to the ground.
Yes.
We're all just like trusting in that, walking around. We are not even thinking. We are just, but we don't know what is going on with
it's
that.
It's like, what are you putting your faith in versus my faith is my spirituality.
There you go.
Okay.
And
beautiful.
I heard it really beautifully said also that faith is admitting our unknowing. It's not claiming to know anything. It's actually believing, like in and admitting and trusting at the same time of saying, I have no idea and I'm going to do it anyways, right? Which I think shows up so much in the therapy room.
Yeah. So there is my birthday present to You Need Therapy, a little, I guess, sandwich of some of my favorite moments from this past year. I hope you guys, if you hadn't heard those clips, those were helpful, and maybe you go back and listen to those episodes. And if you have heard them before, I hope they were good reminders of some real goodness that came through in this past year. Again, I want to say thank you guys. No matter who you are, or no matter how many episodes you've listened to, every single time you click play, I just want you to know that that means a lot to me, because as much as I did this podcast to help other people, I'm also realizing through, I guess, the second year of working on it, that I'm also doing this for me. And it's been really helpful for me to have a creative outlet, to be able to have really cool conversations with people, to connect with you guys. Even though I don't know every single one of you, it's been really nice and really fun and scary at times, and also very worth it. So thank you so much. And we're going into year three. We're doing it. So get excited. I already have some stuff planned that I am, I want to say excited again. You guys know I overuse that word, that I'm excited about in this coming year. I have some guests and some topics that I haven't yet touched on that deserve some attention. So say it one more time. Thank you guys. Happy birthday, You Need Therapy. And I hope you guys have the Wednesday and the You Need Therapy second birthday you need to have.